Praise the Lord. Well, did you have a good time praising the Lord? You should be free. We could just go home right now, right? We'd be free as a bug in a rug or something like that. We would be really free. Did you notice that God doesn't care what you're going through? He just wants you to rejoice. I think it's in the word that God gave me for this morning and today. That's what he said. I think it was today. We're learning to rejoice in our tribulations. And this is what he's been trying to do to us, get us to rejoice in our tribulations. It's like Paul did and Silas when they were in prison all the time. He doesn't want us to be out moaning and groaning. He wants us to be rejoicing, and he wants the world to see what the body of Christ should be like. And we should be rejoicers. Amen. We should be a group of people that no matter what comes our way, we can handle it. When God says to me that the devil's laughing up his sleeve because he thinks he's won this round, that made me so mad this afternoon. I'd like to get that devil and slap him silly. He doesn't win any rounds in our lives. He doesn't. He just thinks he does. You know, it's as we retaliate through Christ, and that's by rejoicing, then God is able to fight our battles for us. He's able to bring down those strongholds because we know we haven't done it. So why don't we just go ahead and rejoice and let God do it. Let him bring down the strongholds. Father, I just thank you for everyone that came out tonight. And Father God, you're already here. And we know that. But I want you to show up and show off tonight. I want you to do a greater works tonight than you did this morning. I want you to free your people up, Father God, so they don't go back into the things they came out of. I want you to do a great and mighty works, Father God, that we will be at peace no matter what is going on in our lives. Father God, just as I watched that young Christian get his head cut off last night, he had perfect peace on his face. He wasn't afraid because he knew he was going to go right into your arms. And Father God, that's the kind of peace I said I wanted no matter what comes my way. I know that I'll always be in your arms. For Father, you are a true Father. You are a true Lord and you're a true King. And we just give you all respect, Father, that's due the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we praise you for it in Jesus' holy, mighty name. We thank you, Father. I'm hearing God say, toughen up, straighten up, and get it right. Toughen up, straighten up, and get it right. Quit leaning to the right and to the left and just keep walking straight ahead. You know, we're like a bunch of kids. I know we need to be like some kids I know that are so strong-willed. They don't care what you do or what you say you're going to do. They're going to do what they want to do. So we have to be like those strong-willed kids. And no matter what the devil comes and says he's going to do, we're just going to go ahead and do what we know to do, and that's to praise the Lord no matter what he's telling us. Isn't that right? But no, we're not like strong-willed kids. We just sit around with our heads drooping between our knees, and we fuss and go on. And God's not pleased with that. He knows right where we're at. He's given us promises, and he wants to bring them to pass. I had just decided I'm going to rejoice, God. I don't care what's going on in my life. I'm going to rejoice. I just don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to rejoice because you're my King, and they're not. You're my Lord, the devil is not. And all I'm going to do is rejoice. Amen. Aren't you tired of the devil yet? Would you just like to take a knife and sever his head off? Wouldn't you like to get him under your feet and have him so stomped he couldn't get back up again? He said he wanted to get his hands on him. When you get that mad, you will defeat the enemy in your life. You really will. When you finally had enough, the devil knows when you had enough, and he knows when you're just saying you've had enough. And when you finally get enough, you'll defeat him because you'll learn to give it all to God and you'll learn to let God handle every situation and you won't get involved in anything. Do you know he's really dumb? But then we're dumber than he is sometimes because we let him win the war, right? So let's not make fun of him. When we say he's dumb, we have to really know he's dumb. And if we really know he's dumb, then we're not going to let him win any battle ever again. God always says that he always overplays his hand. So do you believe that? What God really says is he's crossed the line. when God says he's crossed the line, I don't know if you ever heard God say that to you, but he's angry at that point. Now he's in God's hands and God's going to take control. All right? So, if I was you, I'd say, tell me he's crossed the line, Lord. Tell me he's crossed the line. Because at that point, God is really taking control, full and total complete control, and he's destroying the enemy of your soul. I'm just hearing God say he wants your heartstrings to dance continually, just not every now and then. He just wants your heartstrings to be rejoicing all the time. He wants a sweet melody to be just pouring out of you all the time. If we'll learn to let our heartstrings dance, the enemy won't have a foothold in our life any longer. Amen. Well, are you ready for the glory drop? Are you ready to be so busy that you won't know what to do with yourself? What'd God say? Comfortable? Huh. You're not going to have time to be comfortable because I'm going to have you too busy working for me. I'll be glad when that day finally does come, really. Because you know what? We won't have time to think about the dumb things Satan puts in our mind. We won't even know they're even there because we're going to be too busy carrying out the things God's having us to do. We're going to be too busy with the souls that need to be saved. We're going to be too busy ministering life to these dead people. We're going to be too busy ministering life to a dead church. There's dead churches all over this world. And God wants to use us to minister life to them. So, God's saying right now, let me resurrect you. Let me resurrect you in my might and in my power so I can send you forth to do just such a job for me. Come on, let's just yield everything we have to God right now. Do you ever know that when you're about ready to get your greatest blessing from God, the enemy comes in, pulls a rug out from underneath you to make you believe God isn't going to do nothing in your life? That's the time you should turn around and look and say, you are so stupid. Now I know I'm going to be blessed because you've come and showed off. You've come here and tried to make me believe my God isn't real. And then just receive your blessing. You know, just open up and receive your blessing. I'm hearing God say, some of you have skyscraper faith and some of you have grasshopper faith. Those with skyscraper faith are going to remove the mountains. Those with grasshopper faith are going to be crushed underfoot by the enemy. So we're going to have that mountain moving faith, saints. Boy. Titus 3:1-7 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So this says, remind them, so that's reminding us, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It says we were once those type of people that we look down on now. This is why God says, do not forget from whence you came. Because at one time you weren't squeaky clean. You was as dirty and defiled as the ones that you're judging. And God says, judge not. But he wants us to love the unlovable. He wants us to pull them up out of the furnace of affliction. He wants us to speak hope and life into their very being. Not degrade them, not put them down, but to speak life. A covenant of grace, that's what you and I have with Almighty God. If you could truly grasp the significance of that, you'd never be the same again. We have a covenant grace with God. What exactly is a covenant of grace? It's a relationship of favor. It's a relationship of favor that gives you access to someone else's power. We have access to God's power. An illustration of a covenant of grace is a covenant the old Sicilian family members have with the godfather of the family. In that group, a weak person might come in and ask the Don for a favor. The Don would say, I will grant this favor and I will ask a favor of you. And when time comes, I will collect it. Once that was said, the weak person would become excited. Suddenly he knew he would no longer have this problem because anyone who tried to rough him up would now have to face the Godfather, the one with all the power. Are you listening? If anybody comes in to rough us up, they have to face the Father with all the power. Suddenly that little guy's attitude would change. Would you please get your attitude changed right now? Take time and let your attitude be adjusted. He would leave the presence of the head of the family in the full assurance that he didn't have a thing to worry about. He was no longer small and powerless in his own mind. He had gained favor, grace with the powerful. So, are you gaining favor and grace with the powerful God on high? Yeah, you answer, yes. Push your heads up and down, yes. All right, because you are. He'd walk out thinking everything is handled. All I have to do now is whatever the Don asked me to do. And the Don knows I don't have anything, so whatever he asked me to do, he will provide the withal to do it. So he got what he wanted, and he's not going to have to do a thing in return, is what he's saying. Amen? Isn't it the same way with us? We don't have the ability to repay God for what he's done or his grace he gives to us. We just don't have that. All right, so that's grace. God's willingness to enter into blood covenant with you and give you everything he has in exchange for everything you have. He wants to give you everything that you have in exchange for everything that you have. Everything he has for everything that you have. So are you willing to give him everything you have? Are you really willing to do that and then receive everything that he has? I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to do that. If you expect to walk in the grace of God and the favor of God, you're going to have to give him absolutely positively everything that you have. You can't keep anything for yourself. And when you do that, then he's going to give you everything he has, which is heaven, right? He owns heaven. That's his place. He said the portals of heaven is open. We're all walking under an open heaven. He's saying, everything I have is yours. Come on up and get it. The storehouses are full. And everybody's been trying to do that, but it's so simple. Just release yourself to God. Give him everything you have. I'm going to fix your finances. Thank you, God. Reach up, pull down. I'm serious about this because I've been saying, God, how do I get everything that's in your storehouse down here? He said, believe. And receive. He said it. He's going to do it. But we have to believe and receive. A lot of us believe for a second or two and then we never receive. Are you listening here? We believe until something bad happens. And as soon as something bad happens, whoop, I don't believe that no more. After all, you know, if God said it, then everything's going to run smooth. That's a lie. When God says it, nothing runs smooth. Because the enemy's right there behind the word that God gives you to tear it out of your heart. And if we would walk by faith and not by sight and feelings and old mindsets, we could receive all that God has for us. I'm hearing God say, some of you are blinded by your rage. You're so furious with the enemy that you can't see beyond your rage. He says, that's not a good thing. That's different. So, okay, so we're mad at the enemy, but we can't have rage with him is what God's saying because that blinds us to the truth of what God really wants to do in our lives. That's revelation knowledge in case you don't know it. Put it in your hat. Take it home with you. Because how many of us sometimes we get to the point of rage with the enemy, we would just get our hands around his throat and choke him to death. Amen. Nail him to the wall somewhere. Get a big machete and cut his head off. You know, that's all rage. I didn't know that till God just told me that. He wants us to give it to him. God wants us to give it all to him. All the anger we have stored up against the enemy, give it all to him. And allow him to go ahead and work things out on our behalf. You know, it's really hard for me to stand up here and preach about all the goodness of God, which all that is true, and speak hope into your being, knowing the darkness is going to come really soon. And knowing that if you aren't prepared, the darkness is going to take you out. And you're going to say, well, she preached false word. I'll say words. No, I didn't. We have to be strong towers that others can run into. We have to be a people that can rightly divide the word that God's given us. We have to be a people that can stand under any kind of pressure, knowing that God is in full control. How about Paul and Silas? They knew all the power and authority that they had, that God had, they had. Yet Paul spent most of his life in prison, being beaten and all kind of junk. Yet he never gave up on God. He didn't say, look, God, I shouldn't be sitting in a stinking prison with a sore running across my feet, rats running around, people come along with a whip and smack me on the back when they feel like it, and then pouring salt water on the wounds. I shouldn't do this. After all, I'm a disciple of yours. I'm a child of God. Why do I have to do this? He didn't do that. Every lick he took, he gave God the glory. He wasn't looking for any great wealth, any great reward. He loved his Father. He was on the road that God placed his feet upon, and he was just walking out his walk. And all he did was love God. And look what he went through. Amen. So, if you're going to speak the truth and live the truth is, in the Word, all God's children will suffer. That's a fact. But that doesn't mean we're going to die in the vine. That means we're going to be strong towers that others can run into, that we can, when you read about Paul, doesn't it encourage you? Doesn't it make you take a second look at your life and understand what's going on in your life and understand that God brought Paul through and he can bring you through? And Paul never, hardly ever got out of prison. And look what happened to all the other disciples, how they were crucified. They never gave up on God, though, did they? They loved him with all their hearts, and they just kept working for him, knowing that they were going to die. Look at all the Christians overseas that are being killed right now. They could easily deny Christ and not go through what they're going through, but they don't want to do that. They love the Lord. They know who they serve. They know God, and they're willing to die for him. Are you willing to die for what you believe in? I can guarantee you someone here would say, oh, yeah, 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 but when the time comes, it would be no, no, no. You never know what you're going to do until you're faced with a situation. You might be all cocky and all brave and say, but then when a thing hits you in the face, what happens? It says, so instead of being all cocky about it, but through the grace of God, I'll be able to endure until the end and go through whatever I have to go through. Amen. Because you really don't know what's going to come down the road in your life. And you really don't know if you're going to be able to stand when it comes. You know, people say, well, you're going to go to heaven. I don't know that. I really don't know that. I could mess up at the last second and go straight to hell. All the years I live good for God means nothing. I have to stay strong to the very end. Are you listening here? So if you're all cocky and you think, well, I'm going to make it, I'm going to go to heaven, I would count the cost. I would look at myself very closely, and I would say, but by the grace of God. And whenever you're judging somebody, I say, God, I thank you, but because it wouldn't be for your grace, I would be in those shoes. Right? It's by God's grace we're not in those shoes. And I hope and I pray that each one of us remember this from now on. Not to judge your brother and sister, and everybody in the world is your brother and sister. Not to judge them when they're down for the count, as you would say. But to pray for them and take them before the Father and give the Father a chance to raise them back up again. Okay, that's grace. God's willingness to enter into blood covenant with you and give you everything he has in exchange for everything you have. He took your sins to give you his righteousness. He took your sickness to give you his health. He took your poverty in order to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now we read that, we know that's in the Word, and so we stand on that, right? But what if he didn't give you good health? What if you stayed sick until the day you die? I always think about James Gole and his wife. Both of them had cancer. Both of them were prayed for by all the biggest, you know, believers in the world. Both of them had faith that it would move any mountain. She died, and right after she died, he was cured of his cancer, and he's out there working, still working for the Lord. Why did that happen? I don't know. And I don't even really care. Because you could get in a whole lot of trouble trying to figure out why God does what he does. And then you would never do the things he's wanting you to do. Because you're too busy trying to figure out why he did this thing back there. You know, you just have to say God's all sovereign. And we don't do it just glibly. We mean it with everything in fiber of our being. And his grace is his grace. And he can do what he wants to do. And his word says that too. He can do what he wants to do to whomsoever he wants to. And we are not to question anything he does. But us human beings, we question. Whenever he asks you to do something, he provides everything you need to carry it out. If God has called you to do something, he's going to provide everything you need to carry. He's done that for me. And I think some of you can say he's done that for you. He's given you everything you need to carry out whatever he's asked you to do. The great Jehovah God of heaven and earth is your faithful God, Father God. Can you understand that? You have to understand that tonight. If you're under the blood of Jesus, you've been made a covenant child of the most powerful being in the universe. If you're under the blood of Jesus, you've been made a covenant. I'm going to ask you something. How many of you sitting in here tonight? I want to show of hands. You've gone through things in the last 5 years that you thought you'd never go through. And if somebody told you 5 years ago you're going to go through that, you said, you're crazy. There's no way that I'll ever go through that. Right? There you are. You went through it. And I was just telling somebody at my house just yesterday, I said, if you'd asked me 10 years ago that if I was going to go through it, I said, are you crazy? There's no way I'd ever go through that. But there I was, going right through it. God, are you sure you have the right person? You know, you know who I am, don't you? And you're putting me through this? That's what I did, and that's probably what you all did too. Because you all thought you had it made, right? Do you ever think sometimes we get too cocky for our own good? So God said, okay, I'm going to bring you down a peg or two so I can use you, so it'll be good for me. So I'll just let you go through a test here right now and see if you learned anything over the past 30 years. We failed. We failed miserably. Amen? Failed miserably. But when the test is over, you say, I don't ever want to go down that road again. You remember everything you did during that test. Amen? You really will. You will not want to go through that thing again. Dare to take your place in the family. Luke 4:13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Let's stop there. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Now, don't you believe that Satan tests you and tries you, and he finds out he can't get you in any way, shape, or thing, so he leaves you? Then one day when you're all cocky and all sure of yourself, he arrives again on the scene and he smacks you really hard. That was his opportune time. So he came back to put you through the ringer once again. The little sieve, you know, that God talks about, the sifting thing. And I've often said I think it's the smallest sieve that God could find that he put me through to sift me. Don't you believe that? And he sifted you really good, didn't he? So he's saying, okay, now, did you get the picture here? Did you learn what I wanted you to learn? Did you get out of that pride or whatever it was God was trying to get you out of? If you didn't, guess what? Going to pull a little sieve out there again. You're going to be sifted again. I said, God, I can't deal with that again. That was a hard thing, wasn't it? Luke 4:13. We read that, right? Okay, let's go to verse 15, Nancy. And Jesus taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That is what God has done to everybody in this room. He's opened the book to Isaiah that says exactly that in your life. Verse 20 says, "Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And Jesus began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" God did the same thing for everybody in this room. Verse 17, he found the place where it was written. That is us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is what he's called us to do, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Every one of you has said, "Here I am, Lord, use me." He opened Isaiah, spoke that over your life, then he closed the book. You're sealed in those pages. You're the one that said, "Use me, Lord." So he's using you. And you don't like it sometimes how he uses you. You don't like some of the strongholds you have to tear down. You don't like some of the tests and the tribulations. You don't like that furnace of affliction at all, period. What God says to you when you're in the furnace of affliction and you're fussing and complaining, but you're still going through it. And when you come out of it, he said, you come through with as pure shining gold. You might have kicked and screamed a little bit and got burnt in there, but you proceeded on through, and now you're pure shining gold that he can use for his kingdom. And like they said about Jesus, "Is this not Joseph's son?" They'll say about this, "Are these not children of the Most High God?" That's been tested and tried and put through the furnace of affliction, but they're still standing. They're shining like pure gold. Their lights are a great light in a dark, dark place. Are you hearing this tonight? All you've gone through has not been for naught. It's been to make you hard and strong and firm so that God can use you to tear down the kingdom of darkness. I know we're all sorry we complained the last 10 years, right? The last 10 years have been bitter. And we say, "Oh God," don't you say to yourself, "I wished I'd kept my mouth shut. I wished I'd never gone into that little pity party that everybody invited me into." Then, you know, the devil says, "Come on in here and feel sorry for yourself. There's a big party going on. You might as well join the crowd." And the body of Christ, a lot of the body of Christ joined that party. I'm one of them. Got in that pity party and God had to really chastise me really hard. And now I say, "Why did I ever go there?" There was no reason to go there, but at the time you saw every reason in the world to go there, didn't you? Because all hell was arrayed against you, and you just really couldn't see God's hand in this thing at all because it was so hard. And you couldn't see a light anywhere. But we're through the tunnel. We've crossed the Jordan, and God's on his throne. And now, we're going to receive all the promises that God has given us. Now, don't be turning that air conditioner down just because she got a hot flash, a cold flash. You leave that on. She can put another coat on if she needs to. I'm hot. I've yelled too much and I got sweaty and hot. You have gone through the rough times. Now it's glory time. Now it's a time of complete rejoicing. You won't care what's going on around about you. You'll just rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. And when you see somebody act like a total fool, you think, why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just go over there in the closet, get in the closet and be ignorant by yourself? Right? That's the way you'll think. You know, you'll think if you would just get Jesus, total Jesus in you, you wouldn't be acting like this. But they don't, they aren't, they won't, or whatever you want to say. So we just keep loving and we just keep going on and we just keep rejoicing. Inside you're saying, but you're still rejoicing on the outside, right? Devil, I'm not going to let you do this. I'm not going to let you stop me, make me stop rejoicing. I'm going to rejoice. I don't care how you act. I'm going to rejoice. Kick the dog, do whatever you want to, but you're going to rejoice. Amen? We have nothing to fear because our Father has it all under control. You don't believe that. No, you don't. We have nothing to fear because our Father has it all under. If we believed that, we wouldn't complain. Shame on us, right? He really does have all things under control. He really does. And 5 years from now, you look back and say, why couldn't I believe that God had all things under control? But I have news for you. You don't have 5 years for that. God's bringing that glory this year. And, you know, if you're not ready, you're going to stay messed up. He's bringing that glory this year, and we're going to see everything that God has talked about come to pass. Psalm 37:18 says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Some of us could go through a famine. We need to lose weight is what I'm trying to say. Amen? So God, if you want to wait, let me lose the weight, then you can satisfy me. That's fine with me too. But he says, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And it says we will not be ashamed in the evil time. We won't be ashamed because we'll be walking in the glory of God. We'll be walking in the fullness of the Godhead. We will be demonstrating his might and his power. And people are going to run to us for answers. Do you understand this? They have to run to somebody. They're not going to run to the guy they're running with because he's got as many problems as what he has. They want somebody who has answers. And God wants his body to have the answers. Do you have the answers? Sure we do. Well, I don't know my word. God will put the words in your mouth. He'll put the right words to say. He'll even put scripture. Oh, I didn't know that was in the word. Yeah, you did. You read it. You just forgot about it. You just whizzed over it, you know. Big God will, he'll pull that word right out of your mouth. And you'll say, wow, where'd that come from? Come on. Psalm 37 tells us the Lord rises up to action against societies whose sins have outraged heaven. David said in Psalm 37:17, for the wicked are moral weaklings. Look at that. They're weaklings. But the righteous are God strong. You need to go around saying that. The wicked are moral weaklings, but the righteous are God strong. That's why we haven't had a nervous breakdown, dummies. You know, that's why we haven't pulled all of our hair out. If you're not 50, that's why you're not totally gray. It's because you are God strong. And when you get in your 70s, God gives you an 18-month-old that has more energy than a steamboat. You're God strong because you can stand it. That is the truth. We're not wicked, so we're not moral weaklings. This psalm is one of great hope. It contains an incredible promise to those who put their trust fully in the Lord. I said to God the other day, God, do you know how old I am? Do you know how this child has more energy than anything I've ever seen? Do you see how he's running me ragged? He said, you can do it. You know? And I do, day after day. Don't you do it? I don't. You know, you might complain about God to God about something else, but he's saying, you can do it. You can do it. You're still alive today. You complained yesterday, but you're still here today. Right? You can do it because you're God strong. We're so used to complaining, we just think we have to complain. Well, I think this psalm is one of great hope. It contains an incredible promise to those who put their trust fully in the Lord. You have to put your trust fully in the Lord, not 99.9, but 100% fully in the Lord. Are you listening, Nancy Willis? Come on. First, there comes a time when God can no longer endure the greed, covetousness, and wicked fraud that evil men perpetrate on the poor and needy. David's prophecy speaks of a sudden loss of financial power, Psalm 37:20. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. In the smoke they shall vanish away. You say, oh, really now? Because these enemies are going strong. For 20, 30 years, they're still going strong. But Psalm 37 says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish, and the smoke they shall vanish away. And we have to believe that if we're going to continue on. God's whole word is true, and the whole word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's yes and amen. And so we have to believe this. You don't have to, but we should believe this, right? Isn't that right? Amen. You know, I can look at each one of you, and you can say yes to everything I'm saying, because you've been there, you've done that, you're going through it, and at the time you were going through it, you think, I can't survive this. That boot camp was rough, wasn't it? But God says, we've crossed the Jordan, we're out of boot camp. Now we're in here facing the giants. Can you face the giants? Did you learn your lesson over here in boot camp so that now since you crossed the Jordan, you can actually stand face to face with the giants and win like David did, destroy the giants? Now don't sit there and say yes if you're lying. This is where we should be, guys, because God has said you've crossed the Jordan. And over in the Jordan is the promised land. And in the promised lands is the giants. I think I'd like a grape that hung to the ground, wouldn't you? Something didn't have GMOs in it, right? The inference here is that fire will suddenly consume the wealth of the powerful, and riches will quickly spatter into smoke like fat and flames. I was saying that little Gabriel, he's consumed with wealth, you know. He's always talking about being a millionaire. And I said, hey, those people have all those big fancy homes and all those big fancy cars and all this other fancy stuff, but you in a second, God can consume that and they'd be without nothing. And what would they do? They wouldn't know what to do because they're so used to having everything at their fingertips. So if God made us sort of, well, that's what happened to me. I was so used to having everything I ever wanted, not even checking my checkbook, just going out and writing checks when I felt like it. Then all of a sudden, God just, bloop, pulled that rug out from underneath me, and I didn't have nothing. I couldn't even count a penny because I didn't have a penny. I mean, you know, you think, what is going on here, Lord? But now when he increases my riches once again, I'll know how to do it, and I won't take it for granted because I always took everything for granted. How many of us take the things that God gives us for granted? We don't ever give him the glory for us having what we have. Amen. This is a picture of what has happened to America's economy. In 2 weeks' time, more than $4 trillion of American wealth vanished. Now we are being told trillions more will go up in smoke. Stock markets all over the world have gone into shock over the news, with brokers weeping and wailing. The stock markets are getting ready to crash. Now, you can believe that or not. I told that somebody at my house today. I said, you know, you can do what you want to do, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't listen to the voice of God, you're going to be sorry, because the stock market's going to crash, the economy's going to come down, and how are you going to live out there all by yourself? Thank God you have a roof over your head. Thank God you have a bed to sleep in. Thank God you have what you have. And quit complaining about what you have. You want something different. Right? Don't you feel sorry for Brother Chris? You probably were going to edit this out, right? He's living all by himself, and Catherine's been living all by herself, and all of a sudden they're going to mesh together. But we're with three kids. I told him I feel sorry for you. Because once you do this, and Catherine's going to feel the same way, you think, oh, boy, I had a nice time being all alone. I had free time. I could go and come as I pleased. You know, if I wanted to sleep, I sleep. If I wanted to bath, I bath, you know. Now I have an extra hand. So before you go tying any knots, you better think, do I really want an extra hand? Amen. I hope I didn't mess you two up. I know I did. You know that's the truth. You know you've been thinking about all that stuff. Come on, let's not act so pious here. Oh, I'm going to have to wash the dishes. I'm not going to be able to throw them in the sink for a week. Come on. Oh, but we're in love. Isn't that what we all say? Oh, I can endure all things because we're in love. But you know how quick love sort of vanishes whenever you have to, oh, they got this happen. Oh, look, they threw the shorts on my clean floor. Oh, their feet stink in bed, you know. All of a sudden, love just seems to just go out of the way, doesn't it? So make sure it's love. Come on. You want to do what and leave me at home? You promised the pastor you do what? I had other plans. See, Chris is just used to just doing whatever I ask him to do. He doesn't. So does Chris Lynch. They just don't think about anybody else because it's just them. So now when I call, they'll probably say, well, I'll get back with you on that. Because now they have to go ask wifey if they can do something for the pastor. Catherine's not going to be like that. I'm just having fun right now. But isn't it the truth? It is the truth. You wait, Catherine. You won't be shaking your head no. Oh, she knew what she was talking about. Look, I'm older than you are. I've been around the corner too many times. Amen. Come on. When I married Brother Larry, I said, what? We need a longer bed? I liked my bed. Well, you have to, what do we have? We have to get a king something or other. Extra long. Oh, come on now. And you're going to curl up and take how much of the bed? Because I never looked at all them legs, and when they curl up, they take up most of the bed, right? Come on. See, you can laugh and still be saved. You can laugh and still have a good time in the house of God. Come on. Lost my place, though. This is the time Isaiah describes in Isaiah 34:8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. In other words, it's saying God is sick and tired of what Satan's been doing to his people. And he's come to redeem us. This is our time, saints. Isaiah 65:2. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh, and their broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will repay, even repay into their bosom. See, God's tired of this. He's done with it. He's going to free us from the snare of the fowler. And we're going to walk in total freedom. Even though the darkness is still going to be all around us, we're going to be free. And we are going to be, we really are, guys. And we are going to be rejoicing while the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And even some of the church, we are going to be rejoicing. And we are going to be the lights that God uses to draw them out of that darkness. Now, we aren't to rejoice because some are going to hell in a handbasket. No, no, no. We need to be the light and try to draw them out of the very throes of hell. And bring them into the kingdom. Well, they deserve it. Do they really? I used to have that attitude. I was pious at one time too. No, they don't deserve it. No, they don't. They were taught wrong, or they weren't taught at all. They didn't understand it, didn't have good parents. You know, there's a whole lot of reasons why they do what they do. And it's up to us to make sure that we seek God's face and find out why they do what they do, and then pray for them. Now, I'm going to say this. There's going to come times in your life where God will say, do not pray for that person ever again. They are not my child. They are child of the devil. They were sent here to do evil, evil, evil. And they are wicked all the way through. Do not pray for them. But until God tells you that, your job is to pray. Pray without ceasing and pull them out of the furnace of affliction. Amen. Some people say, well, no, God didn't say that. So you and I don't just shut up. Because I do know there are people born that's never going to be saved. I do know that Satan has his children on this earth the same as God does. But until God tells me not to pray for them, I still pray for them. See, you know, God knows that person inside out. And God knows if there's a spark left inside of them that he can ignite to bring them out of the darkness. So he tells us to love them and to pray for them. But then if he says, that's enough now, stop. I'm hearing him say, cease your maneuvers here. Then you stop. But you don't trample all over them. You just stop and you let it in God's hands. Because he's well able to do whatever has to be done in that person's life. What we see happening to our common economy is not only God's vengeance. It has to do with the very honor and glory of Almighty God. He will not stand by as his ways are maligned by the wicked. And doesn't your flesh crawl when you read about what's going on in the schools, in the churches? Doesn't it totally send such shockwaves through you that you just can't imagine that the world could be this wicked? You know, it's awful, isn't it? Never in my lifetime did I ever think I would see that and hear the things I'm seeing and hearing. How about you? We never ever thought this was going to happen, did we? When I was first born again, God told me all this stuff was coming, but I didn't know it was going to be this stuff. What he calls gross darkness is gross darkness. And if I was a young girl, I wouldn't even have a baby right now. I really wouldn't. I would not bring a child into this depraved world. I would not. It's evil through and through. And why would you be so selfish as to bring a child in here into this world to suffer? You have to ask yourself these questions. What is in me that's so selfish that I just would want a child just to want a child? You know? Sometimes don't you wish you didn't want a child? After you have them, they're such a handful. You think, oh, Lord. I did not know what I was asking for, right? I mean, I love all my kids, and I'd die if something happened to one of them. But sometimes you're thinking, what is going on here? Lord have mercy. My 7-year-old talks like a 50-year-old. I said, what are you talking like that? That's how everybody else talks when I'm around. Everybody else is the ones upstairs, you know, because that's the only ones he's around, because I homeschool him. I'm thinking, If he talks like this, what's the rest of the world talking like that's not in the house of God? Come on. I've lost my place again, Nancy. Ezekiel 7. The time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive, for the vision concerns the whole multitude. That means the whole world. And it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle, for my wrath is on all their multitude. God has sounded a trumpet of alarm. He's been blow the trumpet in Zion for years now. And we've been blowing the trumpet. In other words, we've been warning everybody who comes to these doors, you've got to get it together. Oh, well, somebody else is putting on a sweater, so you can turn it down if you want to. All right. I just got the heat of the Holy Spirit on me. I've been having a really good time with the Lord, in case you don't know that. We've just been having a really good time. And I'm enjoying it. I'm so glad I'm back in the family of God again. I'm so glad I'm back in that other end of the stick. I didn't like the other end of the stick at all. Amen. I mean the chastening part is what I'm talking about, guys. God has sounded the trumpet of alarm, but the warning has been ignored. Hasn't it? Paul also describes our time in 2 Timothy 3 and 1 and 13. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Remember, a couple years ago, God said to me, daughter, deception has come into the house of God. So the deception has already worked, been at work for a couple years. And so many people are falling prey to that deception. But through it all, we have the promise of God in Psalm 37:1, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And we are guilty of that. We do fret over that. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. You know, and we are so prone to do that. When we're walking with God with every fiber of our being, and we're just struggling and struggling and struggling, and we see somebody being as demonic as they can be, and they're just prospering and prospering and prospering, we fret over that. Be honest, we do. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. We need to quit getting excited because the enemy is prospering his people. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when God pours out his wrath upon them. Would you? I would just soon be standing in the circle I'm standing in and struggling with the Lord, knowing that I'm his child and he has taken care of me. I really have no wants or no needs. I really don't. The wicked think they have it made, but they really don't. They have a lot of wants. They have a lot of needs. If they're doing so good, why are they turning to witchcraft and voodoo and all that kind of stuff? You know, we turn to God and they mock us, but yet they turn to witchcraft and voodoo and all that kind of stuff that they dabble in. What's the difference? They're the dark side, we're the light. That's the difference. We trust in our Lord and they trust in their Lord. Right? The lion of the tribe of Judah has roared. Those who hear and see beyond the thunder and lightning in his voice, hear and see the visions of his heart, and have received divine assignments to complete before the season changes quickly. God told me a while back, daughter, listen for the thunderings and the lightnings. The lion of the tribe of Judah has roared. Those who hear and see beyond the thunder and lightning in his voice, hear and see the visions of his heart, and have received divine assignments to complete before the season changes quickly. We have to complete the assignments that God has given us because he's getting ready to change the climate. We must carry through the assignments that God has given us and quit complaining about them. Hold on tight. I hear God say, keep riding the rail. Because it does have an ending to it. There is acceleration in the glory. Move swiftly at the sound of heaven, and you shall be rewarded as a son, which is the allotment of your inheritance, and you'll be rewarded now. This is a time, this year is a time that God is rewarding us. This is a time he's bringing every promise to pass. This is a time he's looking deep into your heart and he's hearing your heart's cry. He's hearing the moans and the groans and he has the tears all balled up. He wants to set you free this year. Not next year, but this year. This is our dispensation to move into God's perfect timing. This is a time that God has allotted for us. You may wonder, well, why didn't you call me years ago? Or why did you call me and then just let me sit and stagnate? He didn't. He's had you on a training ground. He's had you on a mission of being trained to be the strong tower. God keeps saying that today. And that's what he wants to be. He wants us to be strong towers others can run into. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen from now on, saints. You are going to be angry at people who sit in the house of God and still act stupid. That will really rise up a holy anger with inside of you. And you'll think, why can't they get it together? But that's not for you and I to question because I've been doing that. That's not for you and I to question. If they can't get it together, God will get it together for them. You don't want to fall on a rock, the rock will fall on you and you will wish you fell on a rock. You really will because you won't like what God does to you. Tonight, I want you to get it together. I want you to quit acting like the world. I want you to quit acting dumb and stupid. That's what the world does. They make foolish decisions. They act like they don't have any mind whatsoever. And we have the mind of Christ. And our mind should be pure and holy. God wants to resurrect everything that Satan has stolen from you. He wants to give it all back to you starting tonight. All right, you're so upset because the enemy's prospering wealth-wise. Well, get it together and let God prosper you. God spoke a word to me. He said, God, daughter, I'm going to prosper you, and all those in this house that live here in this house are going to prosper also, because you don't care who prospers just as long as I prosper you. So he said, I'm going to prosper you, and it'll just flow out over to them. I really don't care as long as God takes care of me. God always said, everybody's going to have an overflow. That overflow is going to touch other people's lives. So I don't care who it overflows into, just as long as I'm being blessed. And if I'm being blessed, those around me are being blessed too, right? So if you don't want them to be blessed and you're talking a curse in their life, you're going to be cursed too. Because you're selfish. And you don't want them to be blessed, because after all, you bop, 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 whatever you say, you know. Come on. Why aren't you just happy that you're God's child? And that God in His grace and mercy reached down and picked you up one day and pulled you out of the mess you're in. Why aren't you happy about that? Why is it you have to have everybody else be miserable? You have to ask yourself that. Why don't I want them to be blessed? What dark thing is inside of me that's wishing them to be cursed? Because that's what you're doing. See, there's something inside of you that's not light. It's not pure. Amen. Do you know, Adam probably knows this better than I do, about how the drug situation is really bad in this world, isn't it, Adam? And alcohol too. And I have both in my family. And I'm saying, God, why can't... I've been praying. Why aren't they cleaned up? He said, I'm working. So he's working. But do you know that is two of the things that's running rampant in the world? We should be a children of God, that we should be able to pray, and God should be able to do something, would be able to do something. Because he has holy angels come and blast that thing right out of the water. He can uncover every drug operation there is, can he? That's what his word says, right? He can send them holy angels, and them holy angels know exactly where these people are at, and they could just rip that place right up. They could have the police right there. Now other people are fanning themselves. You guys are a mess. Half hot and half cold. See, we don't use the tools that God has given us. Instead of us using the tools against the enemy, we use them against ourselves. By the things we do and the way we talk. Let's become a people of grace tonight. And mercy. And long suffering. Let's become a people that God can work through. I'm telling you guys, God's getting ready to drop the glory. And this is why he's been dealing with us the way he has been. See, I say, well, I have my Sunday morning group and I have my Sunday evening group. I know who's going to be here in the morning. I know who's going to be here in the evening. And God deals with these groups differently. I don't want what I had this morning to be tonight, because you're a different group of people. You're in a different place than the morning group were. So we have to be content where the people are at. And we have to allow God to move on those people. We have to quit wanting the same thing over and over and over again, because people's lives are changing every day. Are they not? Their attitudes are changing. And so if we're letting the Holy Spirit have full control, then we have to let the Holy Spirit minister to the people right where they're at. Not where I want you to be, but right where you are at, because you can't be where I want you to be or you would be there. But I do want you to quit being stupid, because you have the mind of Christ. Amen. God said there's more authority in this room tonight than you need to really tear the kingdom of darkness down. He wants you to take a few minutes right now and put your hands up and reach up into the heavenly realm and pull some of that authority down into your vessel so you can use it to tear the enemy's camp apart. Your hands in the air. pulling that glory down and that power and that authority down into your vessel so that when you speak, fire will proceed out of your mouth and the enemy's camp will be totally destroyed. And God said, as you receive this, you'll no longer speak evil or wrongly, but you will speak according to the heart of God into every situation in your life. Now, as you're pulling that down, God is raining rain upon you also. Receive that rain from heaven right now. It's washing over you, and it's pure liquid rain from the throne of grace. It's rain like the world does not receive. It is my rain. It's purification rain. It's justification rain. It is pure, unadulterated rain straight from the throne of grace. You can drink it in too if you like. You can drink it in and it will fill the innermost part of your being. It'll fill every void that is within inside of you, and you will not desire the water of the world ever again. No, I didn't call you to the altar because you don't need to go to the altar. Your heart is where I'm trying to work at. Receive it right where you're at. Receive all that I have for you right where you're at. My throne of grace is being opened right now, and I'm pouring out grace upon grace upon grace. And I'm hearing God saying, the anointing is so strong right now. He's saying, for all of you who received everything he just spoke, you're going to see the enemy's hold on you broken. And you will no longer be a slave to the dark side, but you will be a servant to the light. And light will draw light. And darkness will have to flee. He said, I even have super grace if you want super grace. Ask for it and receive super grace. And he's saying, hold tight. And what I'm seeing is a great rushing river. And he's saying, hold tight. And I see us in that rushing river, and it's just like we're going over a big waterfall. God said, I'm going to drown you. I'm going to drown you in my living waters. And you will be living vessels that will go forth to win a dark, dark world to the light.